The following message is by Brother Doug Birch, Associate Pastor at North Bryant Baptist Church. For more information on what we believe and for many other helpful Bible lessons, we encourage you to visit our website at northbryantbaptist.org. That is northbryantbaptist.org.
If you have your Bibles, please turn again to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. This passage, if you've been in church any length of time, I'm sure that is very familiar to you, the parable of the sower. We're going to talk about that, of course, but what I really want us to center on, and by the way, that ham does go exactly where I'm going, so now you know. What I want us to center on is verse 10, because the disciples had this question. A parable, literally, is from a compound Greek word that means to cast alongside. So it was a story that the Lord would speak to illustrate the truth that he was trying to get across. So he would, right alongside the truth, tell this story, and didn't mean that not important, but it was certainly to teach a spiritual truth. But when he did this, especially right here, giving them this lesson of the parable of the sower, they asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" What's fascinating to me is the answer that Jesus gave. In verse 11, we're going to back up a little bit, but verse 11 I want to look at. "He answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Well, my question is, why? I mean, don't you want everybody to be saved? Isn't that what the scripture says? Well, I want us to consider that. Because there are times when a truth is spoken. I used to work with somebody that would say something about whatever, and then it seemed like they were making excuses when whatever was said from the Word of God was rejected. That, well, they just don't have ears to hear. And I would ask, well, whose fault is that? That they don't have ears to hear? But it is fascinating that they would ask him the same question. Why do you speak in parables? Because obviously you're illustrating something, but it's almost a riddle to some, because some are not getting the explanation. So why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just tell them straight out exactly what you're trying to say? And he answers, because it's given to you to know the mysteries, but to them it is not. So I want us to consider, why is it given to some people to understand and to others it is not? Now, you're going to have to stay plugged in, because we don't want to misunderstand what the Lord's saying. Obviously, he said it, but we have to understand why he said it. Well, let's back up and look at the parable of the sower a little bit slower. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. He spake many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now, one of the best illustrations I think I ever saw was at church camp. One of the preachers spoke on this, and he had a bag of seed. And he got down in the aisle and he would reach into that bag and he started just throwing seed everywhere. I mean, some of it was way out, you know, of the tabernacle, and I mean, just down the aisle everywhere. And when he started doing that, I thought, I know what he's going to preach on. This sower went forth to sow. And the scripture says here in verse 4, "When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Well, what is he talking about? Well, the literal lesson, I mean, the literal parable is talking about somebody obviously planting seeds, but he's casting them. Some of those seeds, it says, fell by the wayside. This would be a dirt path where people were walking, but it was so hard that the seed couldn't do anything. It just was lying there. And so it was very easy for the birds to come and to devour them. But he said some seeds fell upon stony places. The stony places had some earth. There was some dirt there. It wasn't as hard as the wayside soil. So as a result, the seeds actually germinated and sprung up pretty quick because there was no deepness of earth. But the problem was because they sprang up so quickly, being upon stony places, when the sun came out, the plant was scorched because there wasn't a deepness of root system. There was no place to draw moisture. And so when the sun came out, it withered the plant. He said some of those seeds fell among thorns. I know you know about thorns. You can't kill them. They're there. These seeds fell. The stuff grew. But the thorns were so thick that it choked the life out of what was springing up from the seeds. But then other seed fell on good ground. It was loose soil, soil that was turned more than once, and it could be covered very quickly. And because there was good soil and deepness of earth, the root system could go deep. And when the plant would grow up, it had the moisture that it needed. And depending on where the seed fell, all of it was good soil. Some sprung up a whole bunch, and then another, and then some other. And so he explained to them what he was talking about. We're going to look at that explanation, but then we're going to come back to the middle part of this, because that's what I want us to focus on. He says in verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." And so when the word of God is sown, when it is cast abroad, but the hearer does not understand it, the wicked one very easily comes and catches away what was sown in his heart. Now that's key. His heart was hardened. Then he said in verse 20, "He that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and anon or immediately with joy receives it. Yet has he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." So the seed that was cast into the stony places, Jesus says, is that kind of person that hears the word of God and is excited. There is an immediate response. But this person that received the word of God immediately and excitedly, there was not any root system. There was not deepness of earth. It was just exciting to hear. And so he begins to do something in response to the seed germinating. But because there's no deepness of earth, just as the sun came out and scorched the plant and it withered away, when this person experiences tribulation or persecution because of the word of God, and that's what happens, if you live for the Lord or you try to live for the Lord, if you go to church, this world is hostile towards Christianity. And it is getting more and more so. And if somebody does not have a deepness of earth, a deep root system from which to draw, when tribulation and persecution arises as a result of the word, it's a stumbling block to them. They're offended. It's like, well, wait a minute. Now, I thought nothing bad was supposed to happen. I mean, this sounded good. I wanted to be a part of it. This is not what I bargained for. Verse 22 says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word of God, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So there are those that they want the best of both worlds. Oh, I like that. That sounds good. I want part of that Christianity. But you know, I'm having a good old time too here on the earth. And as the scripture says, you cannot serve God and mammon. When you try to do that, you're going to hold to one of them and hate the other one. You cannot love both. It won't work. Well, the cares of the world. Now, I know you got to live. You got to do things in the world. But there are things in this world, if we focus our attention too much on the world, it robs our attention from God. And if there's too much of it, as it says with the one who received the seed among thorns, the cares of the world choke out what was there from the word of God. And the deceitfulness of riches. You see, we make a mistake when we don't value the word of God. When we think that the riches of the world are greater than the word of God. And because that happens, it chokes the word and this person becomes unfruitful. Well, verse 23 says, he that received seed into good ground is he that hears the word of God and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Well, the parable itself is not that difficult. I know there's always the question, well, are we talking about saved people, lost people? Well, I think the point is you want to be the good ground. You don't want to be, how far can I go and have a little bit of thorns here? What about I got a little bit of rocks? The point is you want good ground. But again, there's the question, why, Jesus, do you speak to them in parables? And why would he respond the way that he did? Because to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And then he goes further, verse 12, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Well, then wait a minute, that's not distribution of wealth. Sorry, that's a little political incorrectness there. Whoever has, to him shall be given, and shall have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15 gives us the reason. For this people's heart is waxed gross, or made fat, thick. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear not. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Well, let's back up to where he talks about Isaiah, because this even gets even more interesting to me. He says that this is a fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah, and he quotes part of it. Well, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6, because that's where he's quoting from. Isaiah chapter 6. This is the time frame where Isaiah is commissioned as a prophet of God. Isaiah chapter 6. This is also the time where God says in verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 6, it says, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, that is Isaiah, here am I, send me. He wants to go. He wants to serve God. Verse 9 says, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Then there are three imperatives here. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Now that is a little bit different nuance than what we read in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, it's just a statement of fact. Their eyes, they've closed, and they can't see, they can't hear, their heart is made heavy. Because I want to heal them, and they don't want it. But in Isaiah, when he's commissioned, God says, I want you to go and tell this people to hear, but don't understand, to see, but don't perceive, don't really comprehend what is being said, and make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Now, a little bit of grammar here. This is not only imperative in the Hebrew grammar, it is a stem which is called in the Hebrew a hifil stem. And all that means is it is a causative stem. It heightens the meaning of the verb. It emphasizes it. It is not just make the heart fat. It's cause to make this heart fat. And cause to make their ears heavy. And cause to shut their eyes. Why is he doing that? Because it does sound like I don't want them to know. I don't want them to hear. I don't want them to repent. And quite literally, that is grammatically what it says. And so I'm over here as a preacher trying to help God out. God, you don't mean that, right? Many years ago, and I probably shared this with you, I was preaching through the Exodus at the first church that I pastored. I'm in my 20s, and I get to the part where the Lord said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And I'm like, I can't mean that. So I look it up in the Hebrew. And that's what it says. And so I call Brother Penn. Brother Penn, I'm missing something here. Because I counted 11 times it says, God will harden Pharaoh's heart. Or I have hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, three times, Pharaoh did it himself. And then five times, there's really no reference. It's just that he hardened. But that tips the scale. And so I'm saying, Brother Penn, that's not what that means, right? Oh, yeah, that's what it means. He didn't explain anything. He did. That's what it means. But Brother Penn, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, Doug, quit trying to help God out. It says what it says, just preach it. Okay. That is what it says. So my question has been for my entire preaching ministry, why? Why does it say that? What is the meaning? Why does he tell Isaiah emphatically, imperatively, causatively, make that heart fat. Make it to where they can't understand it. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes. Literally, smear over their eyes. I mean, just put a film. Cataracts, that's what the idea is. I don't want them to see it. lest they see with their eyes, we're reading still in Isaiah, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Isaiah responded, verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord has removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Verse 13 is a little difficult, but yet in it shall be a tenth, that is, there's going to be a remnant, but even that shall return, that is, they will be left, and they will be eaten or burned. I will judge what's left, God says. And all that's going to be left after that is like a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. That is, when you fell a tree and you got the stump left. That's what God is saying to Isaiah. You preach this the way that I say to preach it until there's hardly anything left, just a stump. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. I'm going to whittle them down to just the stump. Why? I know I'm too soft-hearted. And even though Brother Penn said what he said, I did try to help God out next Sunday when I preached that. And his words were reverberating in my head. I told you not to do that, you know. It goes further. In Isaiah 29, in verse 10, it says, the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes, and the prophets and your rulers and seers has he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I am not learned. It is as though God has kept men from comprehending his word. Well, it's not as though, it is that way. But again, why? Why would God tell Isaiah to preach that way? And why would Jesus teach in parables and not just tell the people flat out, here's what I'm saying? Well, here's the answer. Verse 13 in this same chapter in Isaiah 29. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us? And who knows us? Surely your turning of the things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, he had no understanding? The point is this. Yes, God is not willing that any should perish and all come to repentance. But if men only seek to honor God with their lips, you know, lip service, and the heart is far from it, far from wanting God, then God will judge. And he'll judge harshly. He'll make it, if you will not receive him in love, he'll make it, and I don't know when he draws the line, but he'll make it so that you will not follow. In fact, this is scary. In 2 Thessalonians, now, Brother Matt is preaching through 1 Thessalonians, and eventually he's probably going to get to 2 Thessalonians, so I shall tread lightly. But 2 Thessalonians, let me find my verse. Chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, I'm going to actually back up. Verse 8. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 8. And when that wicked... And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, this is the time of the end when the Antichrist is here. Satan is at work with all deceivableness of the righteousness in them that perish, because here's the thing, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. How is it that the Antichrist is going to be able to dupe the world? Because when the world was offered salvation in love, they have rejected it. When mankind thumbs its nose at God and with lips say that we love God, this is a Christian nation, but our heart is far from God. To that man, the mysteries of the kingdom of God are not given, but they're hidden. And God brings judgment. And in the end time, because people would not receive the love of the truth in order to be saved, God sends them strong delusion that they believe a lie. You don't want to be on that end of it. And so, the answer, back in Matthew, we know the emphatic language in Isaiah. And as Jesus, and he can't be wrong because he's God, as Jesus is preaching and teaching his people and responding to their very innocent question, why do you speak to them in parables? He says in verse 15 again, Matthew chapter 13, because this people's heart is waxed gross. It's been made fat. Their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. You see the change? He's not wrong. He's not missing the interpretation. He's just talking about a different time. They closed their eyes. They hardened their heart. They didn't want to repent. And so God sent Isaiah to drive home the point and to judge them and said, I'm going to whittle you down to a stump because you refused to hear me. It's harsh, but it's the truth. He said, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's the reason they didn't want it. They acted like they did, but they didn't really want it. They were charlatans. They were pretenders. And so, Jesus taught his truth in parables. Sometimes they did understand what he was saying. Hey, he's talking about us. Oh, he's talking about you. He's not talking about me. And then later the disciples would come to him and, what did that mean? Or he would just bring them aside and say, here's what I was saying. Because he wanted them to know, because they wanted to know. And that's the difference. God knows the difference. He knows if I have resisted his calling, or if I have accepted his calling. He can see the difference. I may be able to fool some people, but I cannot fool God. And neither can you. We can't. The rejection of God brings judgment every time. What are we to do? I mean, I'm not God. How can I hope to grasp God's truth? How can I hope to really understand it? I feel for those that are not even brought up in church at all. Because I've talked with people as I've been a pastor, and people have come to me, you know, you're saying this, these people are saying that. How do I know? I just preach it like it is. And let the Lord work. But how can I make sure that I've not been deceived by riches? How can I be sure that that ground in my heart has been tilled up and it's good ground? I'm going to receive it and understand it. What is going to keep me or anybody else from just hearing the preaching of the Word of God and not understanding it, and the devil coming and just snatching it away? It begins in the heart. In the 119th Psalm, in verse 25, the psalmist says this, "My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and thou hast heard me. Teach me your statutes. Make me to understand the way of your precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to your word. Remove far from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart." That's the answer. Lord, open my eyes that I might see. I don't want to be out there where the devil just snatches everything that's given to me. I don't want to be choked out by the cares of the world. I don't want to be unproductive. I don't want to be offended so easily by persecution. Well, how can I keep that from happening? Search out God. Declare His ways. Pray to Him as the psalmist prays, "Make me to understand the way of your precepts. I'll talk of your wondrous works." It's hard. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me. You see, the psalmist goes continually back to God for all the help that he needs. And remove far from me the way of lying. Oh, this world, listen, the devil has transformed himself into an angel of light, the scripture talks about. And if we're not careful, we're going to go down the wrong road, and it'll be a long way back when we finally figure it out. "Grant me your law graciously. I've chosen the way of truth." Well, that's the question. What have we chosen? I mean, if you're just along for the ride, that's not good enough. If you're trying to serve God and mammon, that's not going to work. If you got so much stuff in this world that stuff now has you, that won't work. Break up that ground. If your Sunday school teacher or your preacher says something you don't understand, figure it out. Go ask them. There's a lot of study helps out there. Till up that ground. Make it fertile soil. I promise you, the more you understand the Word of God, the more you'll want to understand the Word of God. The more fruit you will bear. And you will begin to see God does not want to hide His truth from anybody. But he does expect for us, for our heart, to truly be one that can be touched, that he can get into and cause us to have a desire to serve him. And he knows the difference. He knows if we're making it up and if we're just kind of coasting. So, why parables? Because some people didn't want to know the truth. And some people did. Where are we? Would you stand, please, as we prepare for an invitation? Would you bow with me, please? Lord, we thank you again so much for giving us this time to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for your word that has been preserved for us. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes. Help us, Lord, to see your truth. Help us to hear it. Help us to let it permeate into our souls, to touch our heart. We long, Lord, to be better servants for you. Forgive us in the times that we failed you. In Jesus' name, amen.